I have the opportunity right now to welcome our guest speaker this morning. Pastor Greg is away on Super Bowl Sunday, not at the Super Bowl. He is not there. You won't see him on TV. But while he is away, we have our guest speaker today, and I have gotten to know Char personally for a while now. She is the Northern California, Nevada district, so our Assemblies of God district. She is the church ministries director. She oversees all of church ministries, which is men's ministries, women's ministries, kids ministries, youth, which is what I'm a part of, young adult ministry. She oversees a lot of it. And what I know about Char in her time of taking on this role is she is a brilliant, brilliant leader. She has taken each of these ministries and brought along leaders to organize things in our district. And we've seen just such growth, not just number growth with the events that we take our students on, but spiritual growth. And along with that, she is such an inspiring speaker. But most importantly, she hears from the Lord. She spends time in his presence, just not just to hear so she can come and speak, but so she can be with him. I don't want to steal any thunder. She's got some great stuff that she's going to share today, but I'd just like you to join me in welcoming my friend, Char Blair.
Wow. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's great to be here this morning. I wore red today to support my team. No, we know who it is, right? Come on, come on. I'm a native of California. While we were in worship today, I got a word for your church. Is that okay if I share it with you today? Is that okay if I share it with you? Is that okay? Okay, yeah. You're like, no. So this is kind of something new that the Lord has been, since about 2022, has been dropping on in my heart. Like, I'll be preparing for a church, or sometimes I'll be at the church, and then he'll be like, hey, say this. And I'm like, couldn't we have talked about this last night? So here it goes, for what it's worth. I heard the phrase, first-time offenders. First-time offenders. Now, don't leave if you're a first-time offender. But the Lord spoke to my heart, and I said, Lord, what does this mean? That's a strange phrase to get when you're in worship, first-time offenders. And he said, those who are on the edge. And so I immediately saw an individual who, this was not their lifestyle of being an offender, but they had done something and they had crossed a line. And they were so full of shame because they had crossed a line that literally it was putting them on the edge. And they were either going to jump off into the abyss and commit suicide, or they were just going to turn to a life of living as an offender. And I don't know, the Lord didn't make it clear as if it was criminal offenses or just living offensive toward him and not following his ways. But I begin to hear the Lord say, the Lord is sending those who have not yet seared their conscience to this church. And they are on the edge, but God is calling them off the ledge and he's sending them to a place in Cupertino called Abundant Life. And he says, how you receive them shows your heart for him. Because people who are on ledges are messy people. And I said, Lord, I don't even know if this place here has crime. God, you're going to have to send them from other locations. And he said, I'm calling Abundant Life to be a church that runs to those who are leaning. And I just saw a person who was wobbling on the edge of a building, that God is calling Abundant Life to be a rescuer to those in our society who are still salvageable. And so today we just say, Lord, we pray to the word of God says to pray to the Lord of the harvest because he will send forth laborers. And I'm just going to ask you right now, if you are here and you feel called to messy people, to humanity. Your heart breaks for humanity. You love people. You drive by people. I constantly in Sacramento, I'm driving by people that the world has stopped checking on. Used to before, if we walked by someone and they were laying looking like that, we would check on them and we say, are you okay? And now we keep on walking because it's just what we see. And so if you're here and you sense a call to messy people, would you stand for me this morning? You say, God has called me to work with humanity. I love people and I'm called to messy people. I'm called. I just wanted to bless you. And I just wanted to say, Kate, can you just for right now, could you just open your hands right now? I just want to speak a blessing over you. Go ahead, stand up, guys. You're called to messy people. You got a whole, these folk, I'm not talking about people who don't shower here. I'm talking about people with issues. And so, Father God, I pray right now, Jesus, that your spirit would be extended to these individuals, Lord. I just speak right now, Holy Spirit boldness, and I speak Holy Spirit power in the name of Jesus. God, that some of these people are standing, Father, they have been swimming in a shallow end, and you are getting ready to move them to the deep end in the spiritual realm, because what they're going to have to face as they begin to love people is going to take a level of spiritual and supernatural wisdom. So I speak supernatural wisdom right now over their minds, Lord God. Father, I thank you for your grace on their life. I pray that you would keep them safe. But Jesus, I pray that actually I see you guys getting together and you are actually stretching out a net so that people who are on the edge can fall into it. So Lord, I don't know how these group of people who are standing are going to work together, but I pray and I speak a unity into them right now in the name of Jesus. Maybe some of them don't even know each other. Maybe some of them are from other churches. Maybe some of them are from out of town. But Lord, I pray right now, Father, that they would begin to take the parachute and the cushioning, and they would begin to stretch it out over an entire generation that is on the ledge, and they are preparing a safe place for them to land in the house of God, in Jesus' name, amen. Don't sit down. I want you to take a moment, and I want you to take a look around. Yeah, I see those tears, baby girl. Jesus has your heart. You're tender. Take a look around, and after church, walk up to someone you see and say, like, hey, you like messy people? Nice to meet you. My name's so-and-so. Because if here's the deal, here's what I know about messy folk. If you love messy people, why? Because you've either been messy or you're messy. Right? And how many of us came to Jesus all clean? None of us. Right? Amen. Go ahead. Take a seat. Boy, I just jumped in there, didn't I? Praise God. Amen. We just finished in our district. We just finished 24 hours of prayer across 18 churches. And I truly believe, excuse me, I know I'm getting a little, can we silence this so I can do a little, okay, thank you. Yeah, that's fine, thank you. I only take off my earrings if I'm fighting, so I'm just teasing. The Lord, he really began to do something in my heart. I felt like he asked me to share this with you too this morning on the way in. You know, when you have like 2.5 hours to drive, you can get like 5 sermons. So we're going to be here a while. But in 2022, the Lord began to do something in my heart, and I didn't really know what was going on. Isn't that funny how when God begins to do something in us, we're clueless. We're like, wait, what? And I had told my sister in 2021, I said, you know, I have to increase my, and I, these were the exact words, I have to increase my capacity to contain more of him. I knew I had gotten to my boiling point, and I was starting to not like people. You ever been there before? And then I was starting to not like what I was doing, and I didn't like my calling, and it was a lot of pressure. And I felt this pressure to have all the answers. And I began to realize that the best leader is the one who walks in and they bring what they don't know to the table, because then it makes them have to get other people who know what they're doing. So I said, Lord, they've put me in charge of children's ministry and I've given my life to raising small dogs. And so, but that's what the Lord does. He doesn't always necessarily put you in your area of expertise, because then that ministry might not be able to grow, because it can only grow to the level of what you know. And so a lot of times he'll put you in places where you're clueless, and it's very humbling. And if you're not careful, it can humiliate you instead of humble you. And so I was starting to feel humiliation. Lord, you've called me to ministry. This doesn't look successful. This looks like a lot. And I was just, what was happening was my outer world was getting larger than my inner world. And when that happens, you become quickly, very quickly out of balance, because you're doing things for a God that you are not talking to anymore. You're talking to him, but you don't know him, that depth that you need to continue going. And so I said to my sister, I said, I can tell that I need in my life to contain more of him. And so it was January 2022, and I was home. I didn't have COVID. Yes, I tested. And because I lived in an area, at the time that never had COVID. You're one of those. Okay. Anyways, I get a better laugh on that one in smaller country churches. But anyways, so we didn't have COVID, but our hospital did. And so I'm home and I call my dad and I said, Dad, I don't know what's going on with me. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, well, I can't stop crying. Now, I'm not a big, you know, I used to call it a cheap weep, you know, when people would, I was raised in the church. So, you know, the lady would get up. This is back in the day when we used to have specials. Does anybody remember this? When we used to have specials, special singers, and they just weren't all that special. And they'd always get up and they'd cry before they sing, and then they're going to try to sing after crying, and it never really works. And then, you know, a lot of times when they would cry, then their voice gets really high and only small woodland creatures can understand what they're saying. And you're just like, okay, this is. And so as a kid, I would see that and I would say things to myself like, you want to be a female communicator, don't cry. Well, now, you know, that's out. I cry all the time now, because the Holy Spirit's the great tenderizer. And he tenderizes your heart. And then you get to a point where you just don't care. You're just like, I'll snot everywhere for you, Lord. It's all right. And so all of a sudden, I started just crying. And I couldn't stop crying. And I couldn't stop crying. And I'm like, this is not like me. And so then I would like go to brush my teeth, because I'm home for a week. I'd go to brush my teeth. And I couldn't stop speaking in tongues. And I'm like, finally, I called my dad. I go, Dad, what is happening? I go, I think it may be hormonal. This is exactly what I said to me, my dad. He goes, what hormonal? You know, this is why God created men, to help us ladies. He's like, I think this is the power of God. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. And so I stayed for a whole entire year. I stayed a mess. Very, very messy. And the ability for God to tenderize your heart and grow your capacity for him. And so everything began to change. How I did ministry, how I saw things. Literally, it was like someone put a new pair of glasses on me, and I could literally see the difference between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of heaven. And I began to understand certain things in a spiritual realm that I hadn't understood before. And I began to understand what apathy looked like in the spirit realm. And that the Lord was wanting to set the church free from apathy. The ability to just no longer care. I just show up. I do what makes my conscience feel better. But then I leave and I'm apathetic the rest of the week. Because we truly believe, when we are like this, we truly believe that there's a demarcation zone or a no man's land. I remember in school, I think they taught us, well, I went to public school, so here we go. Like the 38th parallel, and then we studied Vietnam and how that there was there's a no man's land, or you even talk about, you hear talks about, you know, China, and there's this place between the North Korea and South Korea, and, you know, there's a place where it's a demilitarized zone. But the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of darkness bump up against each other. There's no place where you can just walk in and say, oh, I'm so tired of this, having to fight and be so like on fire over here and then in sin over here. I'm just going to sit in this little place and take off my helmet and my breastplate of righteousness. Boy, this thing gets really heavy, right? You just don't see this. And so because we grow weary in well-doing, we enter into a place of apathy, which the enemy, to him, apathy is agreement. And so the Lord began to show me a whole bunch of different things. But one of the areas I believe he began to show me in the church was what was getting ready to come to us. Are you ready? Okay, buckle up. Strapping in. This isn't just the seatbelt. I recently got a Jeep, you know. And so this isn't just the seatbelt that's like your grandma's seatbelt in her Nova back in the day. This is like the 4-point, what is it, a 3-point harness or whatever it is. Okay, so buckle up, because what God is getting ready to do with the church and what he is doing right now is incredible. And I'm going to get to a scripture in a minute, I promise, for you, those of you like, she hasn't even opened the word yet. I know you. It's okay. It's all good. I've been you. It's all right. I struggle. You know what disease I struggle with? I struggle with the older brother syndrome. The prodigal son, the older brother sin. How do you know if you struggle with older brother syndrome or sin? You know, now we call them issues and syndromes, but let's just call them sin. Is when someone else gets a promotion that doesn't deserve it. And you've been in line the whole time. That's how you know, right? When your dad goes and runs to the son that's an idiot. And he has, right? And you've been there the whole time. And he's all filthy, coming home after his fifth divorce. And you're like, what? You're running to him? Anyways. So the Lord began to show me some things, and he began to do some things in my life. And first off is he got rid of my spirit of religion. Now, I don't even know what all that looks like, but I know this, that it was, I didn't have the power thereof. And so I could talk a lot of things, and yes, I love Jesus, and yes, I was living a right life, but the fire had begun to dwindle. And so the first thing he did was he tenderized my heart so that the religious side of me could no longer be stoic in his presence. And I began to fall in love again. I began to fall in love with him again and again and again and again. And then he would start waking me up in the middle of the night. Like, what is up with this? Like, he doesn't do this to me. He does this to people who are called to intercession. Right? Haven't we always at times? I know you guys are a praying church, because I walked in and somebody handed me a prayer list. I'm like, oh, that's good. They pray here. But I always thought it was, you know, it was always the weird ladies of the church. It was their job. No offense. If you're here and you're a weird lady, you've been holding down the fort. God bless you. And then the more I fell in love with Jesus, the weirder I got. Why? Because we look at it as weird, but we walk into an area of a supernatural authority. And so then what began to happen was that the areas of ministry that I was struggling in, because I felt like I had to be the smartest in the room, it was okay. I didn't have to be the smartest in the room because I had spiritual authority. And then when you begin to spend time in the presence, everything changes. The way you see things, everything begins to change. Family dynamics begin to change. You start loving people you didn't really love before. I literally start calling people. I would be weeping on the phone. They'd be like, hello. Be like, I just want to let you know I love you. They're like, she's lost her mind. You're right. I had. Completely. But God began to do some things in my life. And so it would be like 3 a.m. in the morning. And I was like, Lord, what's going on? And I would just have to pray. Because I don't know about you, but when I wake up at 3 a.m., I'm like, okay, wait, what's going on? All right, no, we good, right? And you just go back to sleep. And so the Lord began drawing me in and closer and closer and closer. And I began to have this own, my own personal revival with the Holy Spirit. Now, the hard part of that is not everybody around you is excited for you when you begin to change. Right? Yeah. And so it's so funny because on Tuesday mornings, we pray at our district office and we do a thing that I lovingly refer to as whisper prayer, where we just have some really quiet music on. And if you're not careful, you could fall asleep. Like, you could fake it and people would think you're praying, but you could really just be out for days. You could just be out, right? And so I would go into Tuesday morning prayer, but I couldn't whisper prayer anymore because the Spirit of God, and I was like, what is this? This is not me. I'm the person in the room who worries about, you know, I have OCD, so I'm always like, oh, I don't really want to get on the floor. You know, I mean, I'm a mess. I'm messy. And so I go and everybody's whisper praying and I'm like, oh, Spirit of God, Jesus. I'm like, okay, wait, what? They're probably like, oh, Lord, is she birthing something in the corner? Lord, I've become the weird one. And he's like, it's your dignity for my glory. You in? Okay, God. I'm going to get here real quick somewhere, I promise. I'm sitting in my office one day and I'm sitting in his presence. And his presence in that, for that year, for that 18 months, his presence at times would get so strong that I felt like, and honestly, I don't go anywhere and really share this story. I think this is maybe the second time I've ever told it. But it was so powerful and it was so strong that I felt like I was so heavy. If you've ever been in the presence of the glory of God and it is so heavy, you feel like you cannot move. It reminds me of when I go to the dentist. Now, one of the things I absolutely love when I go to the dentist is I hate the x-rays, but I love it. Am I right? When she comes out with that apron and it's all heavy, right? That thing that's supposed to block you from, like, I want to be like, can I buy this too and take this home? I know I probably just need to get a weighted blanket, but I love it. Like, she puts that thing and I'm like, oh, and I just want to take a nap. That probably tells you something about me. I don't know. And then it's all warm and cozy. And she's like, okay, your x-rays are done. And then she yanks it off. And you're like, no, bring that back. And I'm sitting in my office and literally the power of God, I'm like, whew, this is like being at the dentist. And all of a sudden, I have now what I know to be a closed vision. I don't know these words then, because those using words like that would have been weird to me. I'd have been like, oh, what is that? I don't know. And I feel that the Lord is showing me what the future possibly of the church may look like. See, I'm realizing that we've gotten this confused. We call it a stage and he calls it an altar. And I begin to see a place where our lobby becomes a triage center for the church. And where greeters are just no more like, hi, oh, we're so glad you're here. Which greeting is a wonderful thing. We need greeters everywhere we go. We have them now everywhere we go. Walmart was like, hey, the church is onto something. We're going to get greeters. But I begin to see the greeters actually begin to lead altar calls in the lobby. You're like, wait, what does this look like? Seriously, at this point, I thought, Lord, this looks like Disneyland. Now, don't hate me. Don't leave here and say, like, Shar says the church is becoming like Disneyland. This is not what I'm saying. But have you ever, now, some of you are like, we're boycotting. Okay, so don't raise your hand. If you're boycotting, boycott the question. How many of you have ever gone to Disneyland and before you get on the ride, they take you in a room and they explain the ride to you, right? And all of a sudden, I begin to see that the lobby was actually where people were getting saved. Because no more were churches known, listen to this, no more were churches known as auditoriums. They had returned back to a language that we had lost calling the house of God a sanctuary. And in order to walk into the sanctuary, because his presence was so strong, the worship team was not up here for you. The worship team was up here for him, and they had already been here for hours and hours worshiping him as they ministered to him. Because I love what Corey Russell says. He says, we've ministered to everybody in the church but him. I have yet to pull up to a church and it says, this parking spot reserved for Jesus. Just kidding. Maybe not. Like, that would be kind of cool. Like, oh, he's here. I wonder what he drives. He comes in his Tesla, right? No, okay. He changes it up. Knowing him, he comes in on a donkey because it's humble. Literally, the presence in the room was so strong that they would have to open the doors and they would say to people, okay, hold on, this crew is ready to go in. This group of people, they are ready. Are your hearts right? Have you been consecrated? Have you been purified of your sin? And I saw in the vision, I saw the lines that were going around. And I was like, Lord, this looks like revival, but it looks different than what we've ever seen before. This does not have a figure with a microphone at the front. And then you begin to realize that heaven won't have a preacher. And I'm thinking, Lord, boy, we better get really good at learning how to worship. You know, have you ever met those people who are like, yeah, we go late because we want to skip the worship, but we like hearing the minister. I don't think you can do that when you get to heaven. Listen to me. Here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying we're not going to have sound teaching, because that's not biblical. I am saying that the Lord is wanting to make the church a place where we begin to worship, I truly believe, day and night, because these are the beginnings, or if not, the last of the last days. Things are speeding up. The air now is different everywhere I go. We are seeing so much more of an outpouring of his presence everywhere I go. And the Lord is beginning to speak to us about becoming a consecrated people. Now, I know I just lost some of you on 24/7. Some of you are like, oh, Lord, the church is going to be open. They're going to want me there all the time. But here's what happens when God sends supernatural revival. You say, what is supernatural revival? It is a releasing of his presence. Here's what happens. It is not something that's man-made that all of a sudden everybody's like, hey, nobody leave. Nobody's holding anybody hostage in revival. People themselves won't leave the building. Why? Because the presence of God is what we've all been craving and longing for since the moment we were born. You say, Shar, how is that possible? You look around and you see everything we've tried to fill that void with. From crazy things like addictions to shopping, drugs, sex, food, you name it. And then we try to sanctify it even, right? But the Lord is going to pour out on his church, and it is going to look so different. And I am so excited, because in the vision, literally people, attendants would have to come into people and they would have to say, excuse me, but your time is up. We need to get you out. People weren't wanting to leave the room. How does that happen except for the presence of God? And then the next year we saw Asbury happen, where young people just wouldn't leave. Literally, they were going back to their dorms and bringing their beds with them to chapel. You're talking about young people. I know if you've ever been to Bible school, you know that you have to go to chapel and then they have to mark you off in your attendance. And people, or you show up and you got funky hair and you got morning breath, you've just crawled out of bed. And all of a sudden to get a group of young people together in a room and they don't want to leave is the marked presence of God. And it changes you, and it begins to ruin you for lesser loves. They say some of the most, this is a depressing statistic. They say some of the most depressed people that therapists have ever worked with are people who've died and gone to heaven and the Lord has let them return. Why? Because they are longing for home and they're longing for Him. So quickly, let me go through this. I believe that the Lord is preparing His body and His church. You say, Shar, how is this going to start? And I truly believe this is going to start with those who are being called back toward intercessory prayer. So let's go ahead and take a moment and just look at Luke 9:6. Father spoke to me last year and He said, Shar, stop planning and start preparing. I believe we are preparing a generation for revival and what that looks like. So we are calling to the laborers of the house and we are saying it is time that we gather together and we ask the Lord for a strategy. We've already heard, I believe, a word from the Lord that He is getting ready to send people to us. People that He has rescued, people that He has saved. And He is preparing us. So have you ever met anybody who was recently saved? They are crazy on fire, right? They are living up here. And they need people who will ground them. Who will say, hey, that is wonderful that you are experiencing all these emotions, but let's get into the Word of God. Let's pray. Let's learn how to pray and let's learn how to do this when you don't feel like it. Because there's going to be a day when you wake up and you might not feel like it, right? So we have to, as a church, we have to become prepared for, I believe, the harvest that God is getting ready to bring into our churches, if not already. From what I am seeing, we have 425 churches across our district. And it is amazing the stories and the phone calls I'm receiving on a regular basis. Now, before we read that scripture, I do want to jump over because this is where in 1 Peter 2:9, he says this, but are you not like that? But you are not like that, for you have been chosen by God Himself. You are priests of the King. You are holy and pure. You are God's very own. All this so that you may show others how God called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. As a little girl, I was walking by my dad and I was holding his hands and we were walking by a bar. And I go, Daddy, why is it so dark in there? I'll never forget. I could never understand why the world likes it dark. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, not that I've ever been to a club or anything. But it was always dark. I was like, man, why can't we get the lights on up in here? Right? Okay. That didn't go over well. They were like, we like it dark. But they liked the darkness rather than the light. And so all of a sudden, when you go back to Leviticus 9:6, and we see that Jesus is, we see that God the Father is the King and the priest. Remember, I believe it was Uzzah who thought he could do both. Maybe I'm saying his name wrong. No, it's not Uzziah. No, it was King Uzziah. That's right. King Uzziah was the one who thought he could do both. Remember that? He was the king and he was a really good king. And then all of a sudden he's like, you know what? I'm going to be the priest too. Remember that story? And he goes in and he begins to offer up the incense and he gets leprosy all over him. Note to self. Yeah, don't do that. You know, God is priest and king. And so my job, I feel like in this day and age, is to prepare a generation for what revival looks like. What does it look like for a marked difference in the supernatural realm for what God is getting ready to do on this earth and in the church? I want them to understand what it looks like so when it does come, they don't run away because they think it's weird. They go, oh man, we've seen this before. I want to get in on it. I want to get in on every bit of it. And so I want to pass this on to the next generation. You heard the scripture that was read earlier, Psalm 145, 4. Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts and let them proclaim your great power. A couple of weeks ago, I called my sister. I said, I had the craziest dream ever. She goes, what are you talking about? I said, it was the craziest dream. I saw all four of our grandparents there who've already passed to eternity. I said, and in the dream, they were all near death. I know this sounds so crazy. I can't believe I'm sharing this. But it's Super Bowl Sunday. Here we go. Right? I go, in the dream, I went in and I snuffed them all out with a pillow. She's like, you did what? Now, I am the one in the family who is, my conscience is so, like, if I think I've lied to anyone, I'm like, hey, you know, I think I lied. I'm so sorry. Like, I have a really, the Lord has always given me a really very soft, tender conscience. And I'm the one in the family who went in and I took a pillow and snuffed my grandparents out in the dream. And I woke up and I said, Lord, what was that? And he's like, if you don't pass on to the next generation what they gave you, you have silenced their voice and you have snuffed out their legacy. Oh. Thanks for the dream on that one. So Moses says to Aaron and his sons, these are some of the things he says. So we look at Leviticus 9, verse 6. He says, when you have followed the Lord's instructions, his glory will appear to you. When you follow the Lord's instructions, his glory is going to appear. Rule number one, follow the Lord's instructions. Rule number two, always follow rule number one. Right? Sound like Barney Fife. Because Leviticus 10, we see that two of Aaron's sons don't do this, right? Nadab and Abihu, they go and they offer what's called strange fire. They mix up their own potions. They're probably like, you know, scientists, but they had wrong hearts. So don't think God is a monster. They had wrong hearts, but they're like, hey, I wonder what this will do on the fire. And they're, you know, God snuffs them out. As priests, here are our duties. And so now the Lord in the New Testament, he is saying, Peter is telling them in the New Testament, now you are the priest. You're the one who carries the message to the next generation. And this is amazing. This is what Moses says to Aaron and his sons. Your duties will be, we look at this is in Leviticus 10:10. Your duties will be to arbitrate for the people, to teach them the difference between holy and what is ordinary, and what is pure and what is impure, and to teach them the laws Jehovah has given through Moses. Whew, we have a duty, folks, to arbitrate for people, to intercede, to take a watch in the night, to fight for a generation spiritually. They don't know how to fight. The enemy is coming at a generation and confusing them, and they don't know the rules of engagement. The enemy only repeats himself over and over and over and over again. And so because they don't know how to fight when he comes to them, he comes, we know how he comes. He comes outside a person and he speaks in, outside in. And he knows when he has them, when they say it themselves. He'll say, you're not a boy, you're a girl. You're not a boy, you're a girl. All these voices. Then all of a sudden he knows he has them when they say, I'm not a boy, I'm a girl. Gotcha. We have to fight. We have to fight. The next one is teach them the difference between what is holy and what is ordinary. I truly believe that the Lord is bringing back consecrated people and consecration to the church of God. You say, well, what is consecration? It is only something that is only used for one use. One use. I remember when I was going into the ministry, Daddy was a mortician and had a funeral home. I just threw that out there for you. And I knew I had a call to the ministry, but I also knew in our little town that this beautiful little brick funeral home we had that had been built back in the late 1800s, it's a nice place. I also knew that I'm not trying to be inappropriate. My dad would be very upset with me saying this, so I'll say it. I knew that the funeral business was a little bit more lucrative than the ministry. I'm just going to go out on a limb there. And I remember thinking, man, I need a backup plan. You know, I could go to the School of Mortuary Science in San Francisco. That's when they had it there. I could go for a year. I could get my mortician's license. I could go to Bible school then, and then I could pick up dead people at night, you know, much like your dream. I could pick up people at night, make money because I got my funeral director's license. I could help with funerals on the weekends, and then I could go preach, you know. And I had this whole plan. But the Lord is like, no, you have been consecrated for one purpose. I have called you to ministry. And we see this, I believe, in setting aside even pieces of property. We are going to see this again in our nation where people say, hey, you know what? This isn't a place where you can come in. And you're like, Shar, that seems legalistic. I know. That's why I'm kind of even surprised I'm saying it myself. But I sense that the Lord is saying, I am wanting to get a generation that understands why I told the Israelites not to mix linen and wool, because it wasn't about the linen and wool. It was about what mixture does to the bread and the body. He's like, I'm wanting them to look past that it's a building, but to offer it up to me, that it is mine, that it is sacred, one purpose only, that it is not theirs, that they can rent out willy-nilly to whomever they wish. That has been dedicated, that young people can come back and they can say, you know, it feels kind of funny in here, Pastor, to play basketball, because you see that spot right there? I was ruined by the power of God right there. And that to me is holy, because it has a holy, sacred moment. To take the altars that Moses built and the stones where they laid them up, and then say, hey, we're going to play catch with this. I don't go in and get my glassware and take that in the car on the journey to work. No, I go in and I grab the Stanley. Why? Because the other things, they're consecrated for special use. New Year's Eve. With sparkling water. You'll never see multi-use Senate chambers or House chambers that have been created and designed. Okay, everybody, clear the desks back. We're playing dodgeball. And this isn't about a room. Please, please hear me. I see this. I see setting aside a room in the church for prayer and then using it for storage teaches a generation that everything is multi-use, that nothing is no longer sacred or special, that everything becomes common and ordinary. And when something or everything is ordinary, then I can offer it to anyone. We have to prepare a place for a generation that has an altar where lives are changed. You're like, Shar, that's so old-timey. I know. The last one here is to teach them what is pure and what is impure. Boy, that's hard. Because you post that on social media, somebody will say, what's the definition of pure? And then I get sarcastic. Apparently, not your, anyways, okay. The Lord just said, leave people's mothers out of this, sure, okay. Helping a generation to understand mixture. You know, leaven in the Bible, the word leaven is actually translated influence. A little bit of leaven leavens the entire lump. You become a product of your environment, what you're around, what you hang out with, who you allowed to bleed into your ears and speak into you. The last thing was teach them all the laws Jehovah has given through the words of Moses and through the law. Folks, the Lord is calling us up higher today to consecrated lives, to lives that are no longer our own. For some of you, he's saying, hand over your backup plan. You're like, wait, what? I'm so excited for retirement. And he's like, yeah, but it's going to look very different than you thought. See, other cultures, when it came to the Ark of the Covenant, and I just do this really quick. Other cultures were allowed to do specific things with the Ark of the Covenant. The Philistines, they could push it on a cart. And God's like, yeah, that's not the way that the Levites can do it. And so when you look at other people and you begin to compare yourself to other people, maybe even other people who are Christians, and you say, but Lord, it's okay for them to do that. He's like, yeah, but not for you. Why? Because there's an area of consecration that he's desiring within you. See, priests, I know this right now, that priests were called to carry sacred things, not push them. Why? Because we have to feel the weight of it. When you begin to feel the weight of what you're carrying to the next generation, you live different because you have a weight on you. You are carrying the presence of God. Sacred things are heavy, and we can grow weary under the weight. The Lord is saying, do not grow weary today, my friends, in well-doing. For if you proceed in due time, you will reap a harvest. Amen? And I end with these last couple things. Priests, we know this. Priests had more rules and less rights. They had more rules and less rights. It's the truth. When you carried the Ark of the Covenant, you weren't allowed to look at it. They had to keep it covered, and you had to carry it. Could you imagine? That thing was 350 pounds, and there was only four dudes carrying that thing. For a long way, everybody else got to use carts. If you study it out, everybody else who was carrying the rest of the tabernacle, like the curtains and the base and all that kind of stuff, they all got to use carts. I'd have been like, could I sign up for the cart team? Right? I mean, could you imagine, like, having to carry the ark? You're like, okay, you guys, my left shoulder's killing me. Can we, like, how are we going to switch? Okay, everybody set it down. You know what I mean? It's just, it's cumbersome because it's heavy. But sacred things are to be carried. Ladies, you know this when you're moving and you have a box of all your precious little pretties. And you're getting, literally, I will carry them out to the car. I will put them in the front seat. I'm not going to give this box to the movers. Are you kidding? What are they going to do with it? Hey, Joe, right? No. I don't want Joe touching my stuff. So I bring it out and I put it in the front seat because it is precious. And what do I do even after that? I go a step further. I have buckled the box in. You ever buckle the box in? Why? Because you carry what's sacred. You can't pass it off to someone else. You can't ask someone to brush your teeth and your breath will smell better. You can't send your mother to counseling and you'll be better. You'll get that later. You can't ask somebody else to shower so you'll smell good. You can't ask someone else to carry his presence to the next generation that is under you. That is your responsibility. Please, please, folks, listen. If I could sound an alarm, I feel like the church, we have sounded alarms and we have walked over and we have single-handedly turned them off like Chernobyl, thinking that it's no big deal, that we can continue sleeping past it, and we walk over and we keep hitting the snooze button. And the Lord's saying, you're losing generations of people because you're tired. And he said, consecration is coming. Consecration is coming. Consecration is coming. Come out from among them. Separate yourselves. Not in a weird way, in a holy way. And say, Lord, what is it you're asking of me? Maybe you're here and you say, the Lord is asking of my time. Maybe there's certain hours of the day. Yes, I said hours, where the Lord is saying, I want you to consecrate that to me. I want it to be a single purpose. I want you to return it back up to me as a gift. Maybe it's your money. You're like, there we go. Martha, I knew she'd say that. I knew she'd go after the money, Martha, that girl who's up there in that coat that looks like Hogwarts. She's got some sort of voodoo shirt she's wearing, Martha. Maybe it's your talent. Maybe on the weekends you go play at other venues, but then you come in and you want to use your gift for the Lord, and the Lord is speaking to your heart, and he let you away with it for a really long time, and everybody was like, hey, that's great that you show up and you play in the church. That's wonderful. Thank you. But now maybe the Lord is saying, no, I want that single purpose. I want you to consecrate that gift for me. Maybe it's our eyes or our ears or our mouths or our hands and our feet. You know, folks, I'm not standing up here preaching to you. I'm preaching to me. I just let you listen today. But I know this. The word says that when you follow the instructions, His glory will appear. And there's nothing I want more for this next generation, for them to be ruined by the glory of God. You say, why? Because I know the statistics that a young person that has had an encounter and experience with a man named Jesus Christ, their faith has a larger percentage of surviving than someone who has only said a prayer. I believe that God this morning wants to wash us and anoint us. Washing is for where you've been. Anointing is for where you're going. Listen, Abundant Life, God has great things for you. Don't miss it. You're like, oh, that's kind of dramatic. It's just the truth. There are those who've missed it. Remember Lot's wife? People always bring her up. She missed it. In her hesitation, she missed the visitation. She was being led by supernatural beings. And she looked back because she loved the humans. God. Lord, I pray, Jesus. You say, aren't you dramatic? No, you don't know my deliverance. If you knew my deliverance, you would understand my passion. If you knew that I was one of those young people who was on the ledge for so long and so confused, you would understand my passion in my gut. It says, Shar, sound an alarm to the church. That we must return to a place that God is wanting to recreate and reshape His body. Not from a stage, but from an altar. So I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes today. Jesus. Lord, consecrate your people, God. This church is getting ready for a work, Father God, I believe that they haven't seen before, God. You said it. You're calling the lost home, and this church is a strategic location. This church is just not here for random. This church is not random, God. This church is in a strategic location. I don't even think many of us in this room know how strategic the location of this church is, but Lord God, you have set this church here. God, consecrate your people this morning. If that's you and you say, I just want to reconsecrate myself. This doesn't mean you're in deep, dark sin. It just means you're saying, Lord, I recognize that you're wanting to do something amazing in this church. Father, have all of me. Take all of me. If that's you this morning, would you find a place to get on your knees? It could be in the front. It could be in the aisle. It could be in the back. It could be on the sides. You, where you just get on your knees and you say, Lord, what part of me do you want? And you listen to what He says. And maybe He says, I want you to fast every Wednesday. Okay, God. Maybe He says, I want you to start praying. And I want you to go in and talk to Pastor about starting a prayer room that meets continuously. You say, okay, God. Father God, consecrate us today, Lord. Consecrate your people. Return our hearts, Jesus, to the one purpose. To the one thing. Jesus. Oh, God. Heavenly Father. The Lord is saying, don't harden your hearts today. Don't harden your hearts because you're trying to maybe understand the messenger. Maybe the messenger, maybe something of my personality got in the way. Oh, maybe something in my personality offended you. Please, forgive me. That was not my heart. I feel like I'm appealing to you from heaven that the Lord is saying, I'm wanting a consecrated bride. Returning to holiness. Turning aside from the things of this world and saying, I won't watch that anymore. Lord, forgive the addictions. God, forgive the addictions. Forgive the areas of apathy, Father God. Jesus. A consecrated bride. Pure and spotless, Father. Ready to do your will, Jesus. Two guys in the back. One of them is number 23. Can you open that door in the back for me? And on the other side as well. Can you open that door? Yeah. So Lord, even as we symbolically open the doors in the back of this church, Father, we are saying, this house is open. If you agree with this, will you just raise your hands as we pray this and speak this over this house? This house is open to you today, Father God, and to the lost sheep. And so, Father God, we call them home today, Lord. That they would hear a clarion call, Jesus. Huh. That a generation would come home. And so we call you home. All of you smart, intelligent, vibrant, that you would be ruined by the power of God and you would begin to use your gift consecrated to the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And we pray these things again and again and again. And my friend, listen, God is going to send evidence of the miraculous that he is getting ready to do and he is already doing in this church. He will send the evidence through fruit that remains. Through fruit that remains. God, I speak a blessing over this house in the name of Jesus. I speak a blessing right now over the Winchlake family, Lord God. I pray that you would begin to put on people's hearts, that they would begin to pray for them night and day, that they would begin to consecrate times of prayer, that this family would begin to consecrate times of prayer to their pastor and to his family, Lord God. that they would become, Father, I know that I'm supposed to be light. I know that it's Super Bowl Sunday, but Lord God, that they would begin to raise up an army, that they would begin to strategize as an army, that they know that they are getting ready to go into battle and they are going to be victorious. But Lord, they will use all of the weapons at their disposal. And so we call this house a house of prayer yet again, God, in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. God, we thank you, Lord, that you are speaking to us. And this is very much in line, God, with what you are speaking to this church and have been. I pray, Father, that you would continue to transform us, God, each day, that we would place you before us, we would find a way to set aside the time, we would stop lying that says, God, I don't have time for that. We begin to look at it as the only thing that's important for our day. We would start with you. Because everything flows from your leading. We cannot fake it. We need you, Lord. Holy Spirit, lead us, guide us. Family, I'm just going to continue to play, and as we've done in the past, I just would like to ask you to ask the Lord this question. You've heard the message. Ask the Lord, God, what do you want me to know about this today? God, what do you want me to do? Just ask him those two questions. And I'm going to continue to play, and I know there's a lot of things that are going to happen today, but don't let this opportunity go by without asking those questions of the Lord. We'll have the elders left and right up here on stage. If you just like to pray through whatever God might be speaking to you, and we're not going to hold you in here. If you've got to leave, God bless you. But don't allow this opportunity to go by without asking, God, what do you want me to know about this? God, what do you want me to do? And then write it down. Don't let this be forgotten. Let it guide your days. Continue to seek him. It's your breath. Our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath. Praise to you. May we respond, Father, what the words that are in our ears that we can hear from you. God, we would respond and we would act upon them. We would not be afraid because you are with us. That our faith would be strong. And we would trust upon you. May you be glorified today as we continue to worship and go from this place. God, may you be glorified. May life come from your people. May joy come from your people. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.